Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It is your boy Brandon.
This is your boy Sam.
Hey man, we back with another episode, man. This time an undefeated season episode. We have definitely not done that. So man, let's get right into it, man. I normally do some small talk and there'd be some chit chatting, man, but FSU just beat the Gators. What else is there to say? Same.
It was
How
a good
this morning, man.
It was a good win. It kind of played out the kind of way I thought it was. I mean, I knew the Gators were going to do enough stupid stuff that we really couldn't really lose the game. I didn't think that would happen. I thought the defense played pretty well. But I guess my big thing coming from the game, watching it, was like, man, Billy Napier is in trouble. Like, he's in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
I said that.
Yeah, coming from that game, I felt like he's in trouble. Like, I don't, you know, his team does some things that I don't quite understand. And he makes play calls in situations that I don't think make a lot of sense. And I thought as long as FSU could just tread water and stay within distance of the Gators, I thought they was going to win the game. It never cleared my mind that they was going to lose, to be honest with you.
At 12-0, I was like, if they get one more score, it might get a little dicey. But by halftime, it was 12-7. I was like, it's a wrap. But you know what I mean? At that point, I was like, there's no way Florida State to lose. One, because Florida State has been a second-half team this entire season. We know they're going to go into halftime. They're going to make halftime adjustments. And we know at the end of the game, our guys are going to be more fresh than your guys. We've seen it all season long. It's been the story. And at 12-7, it was like, all right, it's just a matter of time at this point. This game, you know what I mean? This is over with. Florida's not going to be able to score enough points. And Florida State's going to get it. You know, it's going to figure out something. And that's exactly how I played out. I really went in this game with zero expectations. Like, I had no idea what I was going to see from Tate. I had no idea what I was going to see from the Gators. I had no idea what we were going to see from, you know, either quarterback, really. And then we knew they were going to play with a lot of heart and passion because, you know, it's a rivalry game. And we saw rivalry week went exactly kind of how I expected. A whole bunch of dogfight, close games, you know, close win. Washington State down to the wire. You know, Georgia Tech gave Georgia a handful for a long time. So it's kind of how it was supposed to play out, and it did. But, listen, man. Well, let me ask you this. I sent something yesterday saying Jared Verse really made himself some money last night. Was that his best game?
Man, I don't know if he made money because I think it was kind of known that 76 wasn't good. Like that was like it was a thing. I think Baker was the best left tackle. Best tackle. And the George kid is actually a guard that they have to put at tackle in because they got so many injuries on the offensive line. I mean, did Verse play good?
He dominated, though. Like, I get what you're saying. I'm saying.
I'm saying if you're telling me he dominated a backup guard, yes, he was really good yesterday. I'm not saying he wasn't good, but you're saying did he make money? I'm saying valuation-wise, I don't know what you take out of, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think a second round, third round pick is going to do that to a backup guard. That's me. But he played a good game, and he was good when he needed to be honest with you. He killed two or three drives in that game. And, I mean, that pretty much was a game. That matchup pretty much dictated the game, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm going to say the whole right side of the line because Fisk, too. Fisk had a field day, and, you know what I mean? At some point, you looked at the game and realized, oh, okay, they can't block our front four, which is – crazy. You know what I mean? Like, again, our front four has not been that dominant against the team all season long. And Florida's offensive line, I know it has not been great, but it's what you're supposed to do against a bad offensive line. You're supposed to dominate them. And every single player who came in there wreaked havoc. To the point where, at some point in the game, I think they realized it, or they got pissed off or something. And at that point, it really started to be, you realize there was nothing they were going to be able to do successfully, just because at this point, how you going to block them? Like, when Versus taking your whatever you, right guard, left guard, whatever position he was at tackle. When Versus taking your tackle and throwing him into your quarterback for a sack,
He had a really good game. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't have a good game, but I mean, I guess with most college football fans, I guess whenever a player on your team has a good game, you extrapolate that across 12 games. I don't really do that. I just go by game by game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, how was you against the better offensive lines of in the conference? The better offensive lines or the better tackles that you played against? I mean, he was good. I'm not saying he wasn't good, but I'm saying, like, does that mean he made – I mean, I don't – so do you discount all the other games because of this
one? See, I don't think he was bad in all the other games. I guess that maybe okay. That's what we disagreed on. I don't think he was bad in all the other games. And that's
– I don't want to say he was bad, because I do think he had a decent season. I don't think he had a bad season. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he had a bad season, okay? I'm not saying that. I guess – well, y'all get into these evaluations. I just think these things are different than when you're talking about, like, that's where people comparing Keon Coleman to Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are different evaluations that you're looking at. Like, Keon Coleman's a good wide receiver. He had a good year. You know what I'm saying? Is he Marvin Harrison Jr.? You know, but he's still a top wide receiver in the country. You know what I'm saying? But there's tiers of good, and there's tiers of great, there's tiers. You know what I'm saying? So I guess it's easy to like be like, oh, this was a great game. We had to have it. This dude was great. Like, okay, I'm not knocking him. Good game. Had a great game. I thought his season was a good season. Would I have liked to see him more in some bigger situations? Yeah, I would have liked to see him more. I mean, he did a great job against Florida. I thought he was pretty decent against LSU. The second half of LSU game, the Miami game, I guess it just depends, you know. Okay. And I do think when people talk about sack numbers, I don't look at it as a purely sack number thing. I look at it as how disruptive is a player. Like, to me, Braden Fist and Former was the two best players on the defensive line this year. To me, I don't think it was actually close.
I don't disagree with that.
I don't think it was close. I mean, their impact in games to me was way more impactful game by game by game by game to me. You know what I'm saying? So do that mean Fist is a first rounder? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't really know how y'all put, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how you watch these games and you come away with certain takes. I think that when certain guys do certain things, it's elevated a little bit, you know. And I think a lot of the reaction from the fan base on Tate was kind of weird, because y'all kind of allow certain media people to build Tate up in y'all head. And I'm like, watching the game, like, yeah, this is kind of what I thought it would look like. Like, I didn't think he was going to throw the ball for 260 yards down, up and down the field. I didn't think that was going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so I get we on Tate. The problem that I had with Tate was not because, again, you know, I literally had no expectation. I didn't know what you was going to get from Tate. I know we've seen Tate look absolutely horrible. What I did not expect is for him to look at times rattled.
Why?
I didn't expect for him
every time we've seen him in those type of
situations. No, he's made dumb decisions. I'm saying, you 4 years in, at this point, if you had a week to prepare, they installed a game plan. I don't expect you to look rattled. I don't expect you to not understand that you got to check the play clock. You know what I mean?
I don't blame all these things. Well, I don't blame the play clock on him, because I think he was getting those plays in late. I mean, what you want him to do? Hike the football while they not set? I mean, what you want him to do?
Okay.
I mean, you got to get the play in.
Why? Okay. So then, why would they give the plays in late to Tate, as opposed to why would they give the plays in late to Tate, but they have never given plays in late to Jordan. I mean, like, it's not like Jordan has a whole bunch of delay
games. It was plenty of times this season where Jordan looked to the sideline and said, "Get the play in." He screamed at the sideline several times this year. That's happened.
But we've avoided the delay of game. So then if they have not gotten the play in, then somebody got to, hey, then Tate got to be in charge of the offense. You are the quarterback. You're the leader of the team. Get the play in.
If the coach is not getting the play in, you mad at the backup quarterback that won't make them get the play in?
So like, Tate was good. All right, so Sam's take is that Tate was good.
No, I'm not saying he was good. I'm saying he did what he did. That's who he is. I'm not saying he's good or bad. I'm saying that's who he is. He isn't a mix of Chris Winkie and Chris Ricks and super athletic and going to get the ball. Like, no, like, he is who he is. Like, I'm not mad at him. Like, people's like, oh, we got to bench him and put Glenn. And I'm like, I mean, what y'all looking at that's telling y'all all of this? Like, you got a running back missing holes. You got offensive linemen missing blocks. Like, y'all think putting a true freshman in is going to make all this look better? Like, no, they need to – the guys around – and then Norvell said it. The guys around him need to play better. Like, that's – I find it always convenient, like, who we start placing blame on as things start happening around people. Like, I'd be like, it's just weird to me. I don't know. It's just weird.
The running back missed the hole, yes. He missed several holes. He's also
and he ran back for 15 yards.
He's also missed holes all season. Usually he also did. He did a whole lot of other crazy stuff. It does not negate the fact that Tate was really bad yesterday and that Brock Glenn came in for a couple plays and just looked better.
Brock Glenn ran two plays and then
I'm telling you, looked more poised. That's it. I'm not saying he looked better. I'm saying he looked more poised as a quarterback. And he did. I thought he did the same thing last week when Jordan got. I thought Brock looked more poised. Again, I don't know what I don't. 48-6.
It's like it's easy to be a poised guy to come in there and do a little things. Like I don't like. My thing is I don't get the discourse. Like I don't get. We've seen 3 years, 4 years of body of work of Tate. Like I don't know what. Like what are y'all looking at that says? Oh, he should be like this much better. Like. No, man, this is who he is. Like, that's
we expect,
who he is.
What
do y'all expect?
Shame on us for expecting the quarterback to improve over 4 years. That's what you're saying. You're saying
he used to throw pick sixes every time he went out there on the first pass play. He don't do that no more. He's improved.
Because they don't call that play. No more. they eliminate it. They understand he can't throw the out route. He don't see it. But I mean, it's not like he didn't throw a couple pickable balls. You know what I mean? Again, tastes bad. Like I don't know any other way to put it. Tastes not good.
I'm saying if you want to say he's not good or not great or Glenn is this, I don't know how you take a. I don't. What I'm saying is I don't see the body of work that's telling me this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, that. Like I've been on this whole like okay, Tate's probably not a starting quarterback at this level of a school. I said that like years ago. Like I've already 100%. Said this stuff. So for me to get on this thing and be like, oh, but look what Tate did. Like, no, man, get the plays in quicker and he'll call the play. Like they wasn't getting the plays in fast enough. Now
so
that could be.
The problem was, I guess I'm trying to figure out what did you, from again, they won the game. We had.
I'm saying it looked the way it looked.
I'm trying to figure out where it looked the way it looked early on. Especially, I'm just trying to figure out where you placing the blame. I'm putting it solely on the quarterback situation. I think you saying it's not that. It's more.
I think collectively, what was going on around him wasn't good early in that game. I think the offensive line wasn't quite blocking. I think you got a running back that's running backwards for some reason. I don't know why. I think it was taking them too long to get the play calls in. And I think that's because Florida was confusing FSU a little early in the game. You know, I had to get them a little credit. But I mean, Tate don't call the plays. Like I seen one play, they got the play in late, and then the play had a motion in it. So then he sent the guy a motion, they had to call a timeout. Because why would you call a play that got a motion in it when you only got 5 seconds, 10 seconds left on the play clock? Like, I felt like Mike was he was kind of swimming. And I think the offenses on both sides was getting owned by the defensive coordinators. And that happens in games. Sometimes the defense have a better plan coming into a game than what your offense does. It happened on both sides to me. I guess my thing was this idea that Tate was going to go out there and throw for 250, 260 yards. And because he didn't do that, Now he's bad. Well, no, he was already bad.
I think there's a middle ground because I never expected.
He was already bad.
2 or 3 of yards. I'm saying, yeah.
So, I mean, but he did enough. He played like a backup quarterback that's limited. Made a couple good throws, made a couple good decisions. And even that sack he took into that safety, like that wasn't necessarily his fault. Like, dude, it's okay to block the dude coming dead up the middle.
In my opinion, that's a bad call. Like, you have a backup quarterback, you in a dogfight, then at this point, run the ball and punt it back. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you got to trust your defense.
My thing is, that's some bad.
We're going to have to agree or disagree on this one. I do agree there was a lot of things that happened poorly. I thought Mike called a conservative game early, and I would agree with that. I also think we were not aided by the fact that our quarterback was a whole lot worse than I thought he would be. I did not expect him to be good. I did not expect him to play, especially early on in that game, as poorly as he played. Yeah,
I think the discourse going into that game about Tate is what made people have this harsh reaction to when they watched him. And I'm like looking at him like, well, yeah, the same guy.
See, I never believed that foolishness. That was the thing about it. Like, again, we know how the beat is, right? So we know the beat's going to do a whole lot of hyping. This like how the fan, you know what I mean? This is kind of what the beat does. So they were going to do a whole lot of hyping. But we had already seen, you know, Tate play before. So we kind of knew what he had.
Right.
I think somebody put in the chat, awareness. Like he looked lost and confused at a lot of times in that game. And I'm saying, I didn't expect for my fourth year quarterback to look lost and confused.
All right.
In a system that he's been in for 4 years.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I guess
all I'm saying.
I guess I just looked at his body at work and just dictate that that's probably just who he is based on his body of work. And I don't really be surprised when his body of work that he does exactly what he's been doing. Like it doesn't surprise me. So I guess that's why I'm
expectations versus reality. I understand. Like
right.
You expected him to be poorly. You expected him to look exactly how he looked. So if he looked like that, you ain't surprised.
I also don't talk myself into things just because somebody's telling me it looks better. Like I'd be like, nah, well, let's just look at it first before we decide what it is. Like, and that's kind of why I meant with that. You know what I'm saying?
And you definitely shouldn't have put I thought running backs early on were really bad. You know what I mean? The line was the line. They were, you know, basically what they were, consistent. Got better.
And I also think the wide receivers wasn't playing very good either. They really wasn't.
They were not playing well. Against a lot of bad DBs. That was the other thing about it. Like against a lot of bad DBs as well.
So. Right. So I mean, when you got a backup quarterback that's playing, you normally need guys around them to play better. And I think the team around them, I think the team around them in the beginning wasn't playing very good. They came on in the second quarter, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter. And I always felt like they was going to finish and win the game. And I think I don't think it's a coach's fault. I don't think it's this fault, that person's fault. Like, I think it's a good, hard-earned win. But I just think when we get into these, like, evaluations of this player, that player, this coach, this play call, that play call, like, I mean, you got to bake into the situation like, okay, you're in the swamp. Okay, you got a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's why they can continue to talk about his arm strength and all this other stuff, man, but you're in the swamp. You got a guy that's always been a little jittery, right? He's not going to really get to his third and second reads, right? Mm-hmm. But also your starting quarterback wasn't really getting to his second or third reads either. But the only difference was Jordan Travis could run. Like, he could run and avoid that sack. That safe. He would avoid that safe and get 3 yards. He would have, you know what I'm saying? Like, he would fall off of him. He'll get 5 or 6 more yards. And you could just keep getting first downs. I just think the plan going into the game, I thought FSU was just a little off. But guess what? I watched college football yesterday. There was a lot of top teams that was a little off going into these games yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So it happens. You know,
it's rivalry weekend.
Yeah, it's rivalry weekend.
You expect it to be tight. You expect the team who is not, you know what I mean, who is everything's on the line. This get records on me. They've been saying it for years. They've been saying, you know, throw out the record books and all this other stuff.
I watched Alabama yesterday. I watched Miro run in front of the line by 2 or 3 yards and throw forward passes. Like, he did it twice. He didn't catch the snaps. Like, he didn't, it's like that dude was doing everything he could for Alabama to lose that game yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Did that mean Nick Saban was a bad coach? That mean Miro won't be a great player eventually? Like, no, man, it's just you get into these games and weird things start happening. And I seen that with starting quarterbacks. So a backup quarterback in that situation, yeah, man, I that's what I expected the game to look like. That's what I expected the game to look like.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. That's what I expected it to look like. So, no, I don't think nobody need to be fired. And
Who said somebody need to be fired?
I know I saw that in the chat, but I'm saying, and another thing, I think that when coaches have these things where it's like you call out something a coach did, a coach is not doing, like, that's just the facts. Like, sometimes coaches are wrong in situations. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that's just... It happens.
No, man. Coaches are above reproach, man. You can't you can't criticize the coaches now. You know better than that.
I watched Ryan Day yesterday decide to kick a field goal going into half when he had like 30, 40 seconds and a fourth and one. I'm like, Ryan Day, you kind of need to make a statement here to get this first down and try to get into the end zone to prove to your team that you're tougher than Michigan. But he didn't do that. And that cost him. Like, it did. It cost him at the end. And guess what? That man only lost like five games in his career, most of them to Michigan. But, you know, but people want him fired in Ohio. You know, so shit happens, man.
Hey, man, listen, I'm going to say again, we're going to pivot a little bit. Florida State, the turnaround from where they were, you know, not forget last year. Last year was kind of I didn't know what to really make of last year, right? Because you had the 4-0 start, looked like everything was right. Then you lose to some good teams. We get to the tough part of the schedule and then rally off a bunch, you know. Right. I'm gonna say this 12-0 season probably is one of the best coaching jobs I've seen from a just again, we always talk about patience, right? Nobody has patience. Nobody has any, you know, everybody want to get rid of coaches who win in games. Mike did not start out winning games here. He had zero support. He had zero support.
Well, he had plenty of support. I mean,
I'm talking about from the fan base. But at the end of that second season, it was looking real dicey. You know what I mean? Like year three, it felt like, all right, if something don't change here, we don't know where you could be at. I'm saying at that point. For him to have now just finished off a perfect season, it's tough to do. Like, again, like winning these games are tough. I'm probably not going to pick him against Louisville. I'm going to be honest with you. We'll get to that later. I'm not picking him against Louisville. But what I will say is that Brad is silly in the chat. What I will say is that what he's done over this last year to get his team, the recruiting, the portal, everything. Right now you have number three recruiting class. You're 12-0. He's done an amazing job, man. Amazing job. Regardless of what happens, you know, next week, regardless of whether they make a playoff, you know, it don't matter. At this point, he's done an amazing job with this team and has gotten the most out of them. Even while losing, again, you lost Jordan Travis. You lost, you know, Heisman Trophy candidate, quote unquote. Still came out there and beat your rival, man. I gotta give a lot of props to Mike.
I mean, I think the turnaround has been amazing, to be honest with you. I won't say he won't have support. I think he had plenty of support even as he was losing games. To be honest with you, I always found weird. But, you know, I give him credit, though, for keeping those kids bought in and for the turnaround, because it's hard, man. When that boat starts taking on water, it's hard to get it out. You know what I'm saying? Hard to get it out.
That's what I'm saying. That's what makes it so amazing. You know what I mean?
It's hard to get the water out. Once the boat start taking on water, it's hard, man. It's hard. So the fact that he did turn it around and the staff turned it around, those kids turned it around, it is amazing. That is an amazing accomplishment. You know what I'm saying? And I also think the way they play, this is something I give Mike credit for, because I thought last year he maximized the talent on that team to win 10 games, right? Like, people was getting mad when they lost against Wake Forest, Clemson. I was like, well, I don't think you're better than those teams. So losing to those teams didn't really piss me off. This year, I thought the team could have been better in certain places on the team. But to be honest with you, I think they bumped their head up against their ceiling talent-wise on this team, right?
100%.
You know, record-wise and things like that. So 12-0, you know, with the media talking about who deserves to be in, who deserves not to be in, this and that, this and that. Okay, we can have that conversation. But I think as a coach, your job is to get your team ready and prepared to win every game. And to me, when you do that and your team wins, that's a good coaching job, period. You know what I'm saying? That's a really good coaching job. You know, do I think it's some other coaching jobs that's been better? I think so. But I think Mike's biggest accomplishment is maximizing the talent on his teams with the schedule, paired with that schedule these last two years.
I agree. And I'm gonna give a little bit more credit out. Adam Fuller, man. I don't know what happens at halftime. I don't know what they're doing at halftime. I don't know what Adam Fuller is saying at halftime. I don't know what the game plans are, but what I can tell you is that when they get to halftime, if they get to halftime and it's close against Louisville, Florida State will win the game. Like, it's, I 100% doubt. If it's close, if it's within 10, Florida State will win that game in the second half. Like, it. Well, I've seen it now. We've seen it every single week. They figure out a way to shut down the opponent. Whatever you did well first half is gone. Second half is gone. Like, right. They took the run. They made the mobile quarterback immobile. Like, you know what I mean? He couldn't get yards. He was running all over. He was scrambling. For Florida last week. I mean, for Florida yesterday, the quarterback.
Okay. Well, I mean.
Well, tell me about it. Man, talk. This one here.
I mean, no, I'm saying, like, I never felt like that Florida was good. Like, I watching that quarterback, even the first two drives, I was thinking to myself, yeah, this ain't sustainable. Like, this ain't gonna get you to the finish line in the fourth quarter. Like, I never really felt that way. Florida quarterback really wasn't, that kid wasn't ready to play. You know what I'm saying? And I thought the plan Florida had, like I think I put on the timeline, Florida get that safety. Okay. Then they get the ball at the 48-yard line. Florida State's 48. Mm-hmm. It was like 48 to 50. It's right there. Mm-hmm. They run a run play. Then they turn around and run a run. Flip to the back, flip to the left, flip to the right, throw it back, and basically get sacked again. And I'm thinking to myself, Billy. Like,
you knew Florida's going to figure out a way to
You can't block that long. That's been proven. Why would you think you could run three triple behind the back passes to throw? Like, what made you think that was going to happen?
And what Cubby just said is the point I was saying. Regardless, you had them 32 yards a second half. They were minus -5 in the fourth quarter. They had negative yards in a quarter. That's tough to do. I don't care how bad the opponent is. You still playing football.
We can go back. Like I said, we can go back and forth with this. But I'm just saying, I never felt in danger. I didn't feel like Florida could do anything. They felt impotent the whole game.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying, I'm giving credit. Adam Fuller has done a lot. Yeah, I'm just saying, Adam Fuller has done a good job this season.
And I thought
I wanted him to be the first out the door.
No, Fuller's been good this season.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. We started this season saying our liability is Adam Fuller. That's how we started it. And now I'm saying Adam Fuller is at this point not a liability. Like, he has coached a very good job, and especially in these second half games. I don't know what he's doing. I was told I can't figure it out. I don't know. But I know for a fact, whatever you did well in that first half is shut down when you get in the second half. Whether it's fluky, whatever it is. No, I don't think it is either. That's what I'm saying. But he's done it now through 12 games. So you got to say, at this point, Fuller got to get credit for being able to go into that, figure out, all right, this is what they did. Mm-hmm. They've done this cool. All right, now it's over. You know what I mean? We're going to shut this down. And so, again, I can't argue. And this is really nitpicking, I wish they would figure out what they were doing earlier in the game, and maybe you wouldn't be in this situation after stopping the second half. But what I will say is that, but he does. He figures it out second half, and he shuts down what you're doing well. It gives the offense a chance, because you know they do have enough playmakers to where they're going to end up getting – somebody's going to break. Somebody's going to get it. You know what I mean? Somebody's going to score some points in the game. So
I think they shut down. I thought they've been pretty good coming out into games, to be honest with you, man. I think the defense has been better than the offense the whole year.
The whole year. They've been more consistent than the offense, definitely. Right. Yeah, you can say I can count on my defense to be good on every right. game. We didn't know what we were going to get from the offense every game. I 100% agree with that.
Right. So I think the defense has been good, and I think Fuller's done a good job. I think that the secondary, even Jerrion Jones, I think he's going to find himself on the NFL roster. Like, I really do 100%. Mean that. Yeah. And, 100%. You know, Cypress, I don't know. But
he'll be back next year.
Yeah, man, I guess you're right. I guess he played himself right back into college next year. You're right. But I think the secondary has been good. I think the defensive line, especially the D tackles, has been so much better than they was last year, man. They light years better than they was last year at defensive tackle. You know what I'm saying?
Fisk was an upgrade. Yeah,
Fisk was definitely an upgrade.
Fabian Lovett, even though it looked like he got moved to second rotation, but he's come in and done well on in that second unit. He cut, like I say, you bring in a
you bring him in as a
bench guy. Now he comes in, he's able to make some plays, he's fresher, so on and so forth. Again, we know now what he is, and of course, four, man. Kalen DeLoach,
if it's a big game, four,
what I told you, we said it 2 weeks ago. If it's a big game, you could tell DeLoach takes it personal, and it's gonna be something.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think the defense has been the best unit. I think the special teams been really, really good. I was kind of mad because I thought Mike had him in that one special teams play. Oh my God, dude! How do you not? That's another one.
Delay a game. That's another one. Now that one I blame on the coaches because again, they have zero.
Didn't get the call
that.
In, right?
You knew, yeah. Is that now, the punter definitely. No, that's definitely not the punter fault. Right? That's definitely not the punter fault. You already knew before the punt team even roll out that we rolling with the fake. If they give us this look, we rolling with the fake. Hike the football, man. Like this ain't even. I think he sat on that decision for a little bit. That was why I came in late. I think he really wanted to see. Okay, they said they coming for the kick. We got him.
Right.
It just took too long. It took too long. But yeah, he did. And special teams really good. The punter, the been amazing all season long. Field goal kicker has turned himself around. Keon Coleman's been amazing back in punt return. Again, didn't have an impact at wide receiver. I blame that, I think, on the quarterback a little more than Weston. But then he also dropped the touchdown. Dropped the easy touchdown too. Which was out of his character. But then still made an impact in punt. You know what I mean? So it's
I think the Keon thing is going to be a very interesting eval come NFL time. I think he's a really good wide receiver. But, man, I don't know, man. Like Ndunze and Marvin Harrison Jr., they easily the top two wide receivers to me. Those guys do, man, them guys, they don't drop a whole lot of anything. And they get open. You know what I'm saying? Like, they get open. They, like, they beat guys they off the press, and they get open, man. And Marvin Harrison Jr. has basically won the Notre Dame game for them, won the Penn State game for Ohio State. I mean, I'm talking about just
and catching kept Ohio up. State, and kept Ohio State in and that kept game in the game against Michigan. Yeah, kept him in the game. At one point, I was like, okay, so they're not going to guard 18? Is he just
– I mean, they guarding him, but, dude, he
– like, he can't keep still being open and catching passes.
He get off those
– It got really confusing to me because I was like, wait a minute. Like at this point, I just lined two dudes up front. I just lined two dudes in front of him like a punt return or something. Like I couldn't let dude beat us, man. No, it was a bad throw. He also dropped it. Like I don't know what y'all talking about. He hit both his hands.
Yeah,
it was a drop. Like I get what you said. He threw it high. Yeah. It hit both his hands. That's a drop, my man.
If you're a special wide receiver, you make a special play. I mean, that's what we've come. And he's done that throughout the season.
I'm going to say he's made tough against this season. He's made tough against this season. So I can't be like, that wasn't no drop when it hit both your hands. That man he's made way tougher catches this season. He's the one who told us there's no 50-50 balls.
Yeah, Keon's been great though, man. And I thought Johnny Wilson played one of his better games yesterday. He had that one drop. I was kind of got to catch that, Johnny. But
that was also a bad throw too. But it was a drop. Hit both his hands.
But I thought this offense though. I think we could talk about Louisville now and how that game's gonna go. But I actually think they're gonna beat Louisville. I know a lot of people saying they don't think it's gonna happen. The only difference is this. This is the only difference. If Louisville go up and get into halftime and go up, I don't think FSU can catch them. That's the only difference. I don't think you can play around for two quarters against Louisville and beat them. And the main reason I say that is because Brom makes great adjustments too. He's a great adjuster too. And I thought, but the only thing about Louisville, and the reason why I think they're going to beat Louisville, because their quarterback will give you the football. And Brom does have to coach around that quarterback. The problem is, I'm kind of thinking,
our defense is very opportunistic. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to make some plays. I think we can get some picks and get some fumbles and stuff early and get up early in that game and hold on for dear life. That's what I think is going to happen.
The way I would see Florida State winning it is by that. Like, if our defense is able to get, you know what I mean, a forced fumble, early pick, you know what I mean, pick six, another one of those, you know, blitzes. Because, again, I've given Fuller a little bit more. He's figured out the ways to disguise that blitz. Like, they showed it on TV yesterday, you know what I mean, where, again, we show blitz with Shaheen Brown, who you know is a blitzer. Quarterback points him out, and then you send the blitz from the other direction. That's a great blitz call. You know what I mean? That's well executed. That defense is humming right now. And so I agree. The defense is going to have to – they're going to have to win this game. You know what I mean? And so if the defense is able to execute and continue to perform at this high level, which I believe they will, then, yeah, I can see Florida State winning it. The only problem is I'm just not sure if we can make enough plays on offense. Like, I don't know. Can we get what's the race to? You know what I mean? What's the rate to?
24.
30? 24?
24. Yeah.
Okay. So if the race is to 24, Florida State can get to 24.
I don't think FSU would take at quarterback and get to 30. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think they can get to 30 either way.
I think with Tate, you just got to minimize. You have to try to get into the game and say no turnovers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And hope that you can wear on their defense long enough to bust, you know, like they did in Florida, try to bust big runs, maybe catch.
Use that aggressiveness against them.
Yeah, something like that. But I don't think you're going to get more than. Yeah.
You're going to get the same strategy that they had against. You're going to get the same strategy that Florida did. Take away all the short stuff. You know what I mean? Play you tight, send pressure, and we'll see what happens. Yeah. Tate needs to be serviceable.
Yeah, I mean, do what he did yesterday, don't turn the football over. I mean, that'd be fine. Like, don't turn the football over. Don't take a safety. They need to get the plays in quicker. I mean, that's just all to that. I mean, you know. But the thing about it, though, only thing that scares me about Louisville is that with Braun, like I said,
they're not gonna beat themselves.
They're not gonna do the stuff that Florida did. They're not gonna.
Yeah, Florida's gonna give you at least.
They're not gonna block somebody out of bounds. Some bullshit. They're not gonna block somebody out of bounds on a punt. They're not gonna
15.
Yeah, like they're not gonna.
Yeah, they're not gonna spit in the face. get one of your best players to kick out. And my best player got to get kicked out of the game for spitting. They're not gonna do that. You know what I mean? And a free 15. Yeah, it's just dumb stuff.
They're not gonna hand you 15 yards after 15 yards. Yeah, they're not gonna give you 15 yards.
Florida is a very poorly coached team. They just make dumb decisions throughout the game. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, and Louisville is not gonna do that. So you gonna have to earn it. Yeah, you are gonna have to earn it. We'll see. Cubby says something else. He's like, up-tempo may help Tate.
I don't think that'd be
I don't think you want to be up-tempo. If you go up-tempo, that's quick three and outs. You get it right back to your defense. I think you got to milk the clock, take every second, snap it within three. It's going to be one of them Jimbo-type games. You know what I mean? What Jimbo used to – I got like five possessions. You know what I mean? Let's make this thing.
I guess I highlight this one too. It says they need to use tight ends more in the pass game. The problem with the tight ends is they don't block in the run game, man. They're terrible in the run game.
They don't. They're
terrible in the run game. They're killing you a lot of times.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest, I didn't like the Coleman in the backfield thing either. I know it was it was a new wrinkle or whatever it is. It just didn't seem to. It never seemed to work. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I don't know what the strategy was or what they were supposed to be doing, but it never seemed to work. It didn't seem to work. I go back to whatever we was running before that, but that wrinkle didn't work. And then also, I think it got Keon out of his rhythm, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's why we looked at, Keon didn't really execute the same way. They had him in the backfield doing some weird stuff. Line your two wide receivers up at wide receiver and let them boys make plays.
Right.
I also don't like Bell on the sweeps either. We are nitpicking. We beat the Gators. You know what I mean? Like, we are at this point looking forward to Louisville. We'll see what happens. But, Mike has to call a very good game. I think the defense has to play excellent, and I think Tate has to have zero turnovers. No safeties, no picks, no fumbles. If they do that, Florida State has a chance to win the game. And I think Florida State will win the game in that one. My problem is I don't know if I believe Tate's not going to do one or two of those things. And if you give Louisville extra possessions, you will lose that game. And I think
Give them extra possessions, you're going to have a problem.
You down 13 points, probably not a big deal because, again, I think Florida State. But if you get down, you know what I mean, it's 20-3. I don't know you can come back from that. You know what I mean? I don't know if Florida State, if Tate has the offense to be able to come back from that, and if the defense can get enough stops to be able to come back from that. You don't want to put
Tate in much, you know, these throwing situations with no leverage. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm with you. So, I mean, you got them winning.
I think it went 24-23.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really, really close. But I do think FSU makes just enough plays. And I do think Plummer gives us one interception, at least one interception. You know, I think it's going to come down who wins fourth down. Because I think it's going to be some decisions got to get made. And, you know, do Brom win on fourth downs? And do Mike win on fourth downs in that game? But I think whoever wins on fourth down wins that game. And I do think it's going to be FSU. I think they make enough plays on fourth down in that game to win the game. So
hope you're right.
That's what I think.
Go Noles. I hope you're right. Go Noles. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so then let's say they win. Do they get to the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they're going to get to there. Because I do think Georgia's going to beat Alabama. I think Georgia's going to beat Alabama.
Auburn had them beat. And they had them beat with just physicality. I've never seen a Bama team just get out. They got bullied yesterday.
I do wonder, though, like if Bama beat Georgia, and Oregon beats Washington.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is going to happen.
Would they put Texas, Bama, Georgia? No. Florida State. You still got to go Michigan. So you have to go Georgia, Michigan. So you would need Michigan to lose against Iowa in the Big
Michigan
10.
Michigan losing against Iowa.
And I don't think they'll lose against Iowa, even though Iowa's got 10 wins. That Kurt Ferentz.
Yeah, I was deep from what they again. I don't. I'm. I ain't gonna take. I have nothing. I don't. I know.
But I think Harbaugh never comes back.
But from what they said, their defense is legit. They say Iowa's defense is legit.
Yeah, their defense always legit. But Harbaugh comes back for that game, so I think they're gonna be amped up with Harbaugh back on the sidelines. Hmm. But you would need Michigan to lose against Iowa to get the, because I think the only way they're gonna put Bama in. They would have to put Texas and Bama in.
Right. Because again, Texas beat Bama. Like, yeah, you're not going to be able to.
That's the only way they can justify.
I don't care who they won. They've got the same record. And Texas beat them head to head. Yeah. You got it. Like, there's no logic that I can look around and say, well, the team who beat the other team, we beat y'all straight up. We got the same record. I'm going. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm going.
Yeah,
I think Louisville, if Florida State beats Louisville, they are in. I don't see how.
Because I think no matter what happens next week, Georgia's going to get in.
Not if they lose to Bama.
I think so.
Well,
this is what happened with TCU last year. Remember, TCU went undefeated. They lost in the conference championship, and they put TCU in anyway.
I'm really thinking about it.
That's why I say it's going to get weird, because they're going to say
if Bama beat Georgia, you need for Georgia to win.
Yeah, you need Georgia to go ahead and win.
So that way you got three undefeated teams, you know, and they'll all be conference champions. That's easy. And let whoever it is fight over that fourth spot. And then and we'll have fun against Michigan. And we'll have fun against Michigan. Let's see what happens. I think that's what it is, because Florida State ended up at number three.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, but what was your question? Your question was, what would they do in the playoffs, I think? I heard you about to ask me.
Yeah. My original question was, do they get in? And
no,
then,
I think,
Let's say the scenario. So let's paint the scenario, right? Let's say it is Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Florida State 3, and let's just say, well, I guess Oregon, Texas or Oregon get in.
Right.
Okay, Texas, Oregon get in. Florida State play Michigan. How do you feel after watching Michigan?
I don't think Florida State will beat Michigan.
Think it's competitive?
Well, Michigan ain't gonna run away from you, so I don't think Michigan will blow you out. But no, I think they will win a pretty convincing game, and it'll be like 10 points. 10 or 14 points where you're not really they never really feel threatened. And the only reason I say that is because I don't think Tate can make enough plays against that Michigan defense. I also don't think Michigan would be afraid of Keon Coleman or Johnny Wilson. I think because they played against Ohio State and those wide receivers, you know, I don't think that would terrify them at all. And I think because you can't throw a bunch of kill shots at Michigan, that makes it tough. Like, I don't think Florida State could beat Michigan. I mean, they'll have a better chance against Washington to me again than Michigan.
Oh, again.
I've said
this all season. Line Washington up.
And I do
like,
think
I've watched Washington all season long struggle with sorry teams. Line, give me Washington. Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah, I think you got a better chance. I also think Washington would beat Florida State, though, because I think Penix with those wide receivers versus Tate. I just don't think Tate can score enough points, man. I just don't.
The problem, and that's again, man, with Jordan, this is a whole different conversation. But you're right.
I wouldn't have changed my thoughts on this stuff, to be honest with you. But
even with Travis,
I think Jordan will make the game.
Travis in Washington. Travis beats Washington. Like 100%. Travis beats Washington. The only team I'm guaranteeing they ain't beating is Georgia. Georgia, it looks like, I think it'll look like, a lot like TCU last year.
Yeah, I see somebody putting in the chat talking about, hello, right here. He said, we beat Michigan. We're going to make them play our style slugfest. Yeah, you don't want to go punch for punch with Michigan. And, like, that's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, Michigan want to play that way. That. Yeah, I was going to say, Michigan wants to play that game. Like,
yeah, that's what
you
they want.
I mean, like, Michigan wants to just run it 100 times. You know what I mean? Yeah, hey, all right, cool.
They want to get
nobody
want
to throw it? Cool. You know what I mean? They'll just line up and just, you know what I mean? And go. You know what I mean? And I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? Here's what I will say. Michigan doesn't score a lot, and that's why I think it'll be a decent game. You know what I mean? And because it'll be a lot of running, it'll go quick. So it's possibility that you can end up in a, you know, 24-10 game or something like that.
I don't think we can match their physicality, though. Like, I don't think that their defensive line versus our offensive line, I heavily favor their defensive line. Our defensive line versus their offensive line, I would favor their offensive line. Not by much, but I would.
See, I don't know that. See, and that's what I was going to say. I think that's where it gets even. Based on how, based on how our defensive played and looked, I would think we can match up well with, you know, line for line. If you tell me our defensive line can, especially if you're getting angry verse, you get an angry verse, you're getting some, you know, Fisk, you still got the rotation. I believe they can slow down them enough to where they can't, you know what I mean? To where it won't be a blowout. Yeah, I'm not picking them to win against Michigan. I'm definitely not picking them to win against Georgia. I probably ain't picking them to win against Washington either, but I think that's your best chance.
Washington would be your best chance. Oregon, I don't think you would beat Oregon if you play Oregon. Texas.
Too many points.
Texas do a lot of dumb stuff to me. So I think you could actually be in a game with Texas because Texas kind of plays to the level of their competition.
I might even pick us against Texas.
But everybody else, and the reason why I say that about Washington, because Washington can throw death blows. Like, they can, like, Anduze and them guys.
They're going to get you.
And they got a really good cornerback that can lock up one-on-one. That cornerback is really good. They got over there. That defensive line is really good. That Braylon Trice kid, you know, I mean, he would be my defensive end number three after Turner. And, Turner. Who was the other guy? Oh, I like Chop Robinson. So Turner, Chop, Bryce, that Bryce Thrice kid from Washington would be my number three. So,
yeah.
I mean, they got they got talent at Washington, dude. Like, them Samoans be hitting up there. So, you know, and they yeah, played a lot of ugly games.
Line them slow-ass Samoans up.
Okay.
Line them slow-ass Samoans up and come out here and get beat. I'm just talking. I don't really believe that. I'm just talking. But
all right. But no, man. Anything else, man? FSU had a good season, man. It's a lot to look forward to.
They had a great season.
It's something I will say. You know, as we like look at the Big Three going forward, you know, depending on what Miami do as far as keeping their coordinators, if they can keep their coordinators, Florida's in trouble, man. Because there's a chance. Like, I think it's a chance that they might get blowed out when they play Miami next year. I'm not joking.
They're going to get blowed. I'll pull back up the schedule again. I'm telling you, Florida may win two games next season.
But what I will say, when they play Miami, if what I think can happen in that game happens, I don't know if Billy gonna make it halfway through the season, because they're not gonna take losing to Miami lightly. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not gonna take that with like, okay, you rebuild it. Like, so
Miami. Okay, they play Miami. That's gonna be a loss. Miami got a lot of talent. They're gonna beat them. Sanford.
I mean, Miami gotta keep their coordinator.
They're gonna beat Sanford. But what happened with UCF? Well, I mean, they might be in a dog.
I think UCF.
Then they got Georgia. They got us, of course. They got Kentucky again. They got LSU. They got Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Texas.
The thing is, I think they
right where they at this season.
They can get about four, five. Or six. Yeah, they can right back in the same place, five or six.
Yeah, so. They in the same space. Yeah, Mississippi State. They might, you know what I mean? They might be able to get Kentucky because Kentucky, you know what I mean?
And I think the thing that's killing them.
They're not beating Texas.
I think the thing that's killing Florida is I do think Napier is a good recruiter. He is shown to be a good recruiter. He is a good recruiter. But I don't think he's a good team builder. I don't think he built a good team. I mean, I don't think he built a team that brought the floor up. No. You know what I'm saying? I felt like their floor was lower this year than it was last year. And I thought Miami or Mario, him and Mike both brought their floors up. Like, they both raised the floor of their team. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I get what you're saying. He got a bunch of pieces. They just don't go together.
Right. He got pieces, but they don't all fit. Like, they don't all fit together. They don't all play together. They don't all do things together. Like, with Miami, like, when I watch Miami, I do see a team that's, like, determined to win every down. Like, they're trying to win the down. Like, Florida just seemed like, oh shit, I hope we get a sack. Oh shit, I hope we get a pick. Oh shit, I hope this happens. I hope. It don't feel like they're determined to dictate or do anything special at all. Like, they don't feel that way. And that's weird. That's weird to me watching them play. Because even against Missouri last week, I never felt like they were going to win that game. And I was like, I don't think they're going to win that game. They had every opportunity to win that game. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to shit on Mario. That's fine. But after the Georgia Tech game, every game after that, I felt like I didn't feel like they was like that terribly coached. I felt like they came in every game with a plan. They came every game ready to win, wanting to win, playing to win. I mean, they beat Clemson. They beat some other teams I thought was decent. They beat the brakes off of Boston College at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. You know,
they
gave Louisville everything they wanted. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. I mean, granted, I don't think Miami's going to be great. I mean, it's going to depend on what they do. Like I said, if Miami can keep their coordinators and Miami can add the guys I think they're going to add in recruiting, they're going to have a chance to be about 10 wins. I mean, Mario's gonna always do his dumb shit in games. Like, he's gonna cost them a game.
The problem is gonna be Mario.
Yeah, but at the same time, he is raising their floor. I don't feel like Florida's floor has been risen any. Like in year two, I want to feel like the floor is up a little bit. I don't feel like they flow up.
They're bad.
Yeah,
they're bad and they're poorly coached. They're bad and they're poorly coached.
Right. Yeah, it's not a good combination. And they keep saying they're going to hire offense. And the main reason they need an offensive coordinator, to me, is it because I think Napier is terrible at play calling? Because I don't think he's a bad...
I think he's very good at play calling.
I don't think he's a bad game plan. I think he has a good game plan coming into the games. But the thing is, it's like everything else around him is like mismanaged. Everything around him is just falling apart to me. And I just... That seems crazy
with the amount of coaches that they have. This is looking bad with the amount of coaches that they have on the sideline. That's what's so confusing.
And like that's when they was comparing him to Willie. They was comparing him to Willie. I'm like, well, Willie didn't have all those coaches.
Willie actually had like coaches, like they had restrictions on coaches. You know what I mean? Like, I get that.
My thing was when those things were happening on the Willie, I was like, well, you know, he needs more resources to get more coaches to clean some of these things up. And then even going into Willie's second year, they was better on offense. They was cleaner. They did more cleaner things. I mean, granted, people at that point, you know, the narrative was we got to fire this coach. You know what I'm saying? That's just all it was. Remember, we was like in game three talking about must wins. With Napier, I'm like, dude, you got 60 coaches. You got plenty of coaches. Yeah. You got former players on your as analysts, you got former players hyping the players up. Like, you got everything you need, and you trying to tell me they don't know not to spit on other players? Like, they can't control their emotions of not to spit? Like, what are we doing, man? Like, yeah, man. Yeah, like, I walked away from that game thinking to myself, like, damn, but Florida got a real dumpster because I don't know. He got to get out of year three to be good. I don't think he's going to get out of year three. I think Miami's going to do something to them next year, man. I really do.
Miami's going to beat the brakes off them, boys, and it's going to get real dicey now. Like, if Miami go out there and 34-3 you or something like that, boys, they're going to let him go. He will not make it.
And I do
think,
I do think they need to keep him, but this is the problem when you fire one coach or you make one coach feel like you don't want him there anymore. Like with the whole Mullen situation. Like at some point you have to be like, okay, this guy gonna give me 8 wins. I take these 8 wins till I find a guy that I feel comfortable with that can get me over the hump.
Right. I'm not going, you know what I'm saying? Like, option coach. Yeah, I'm not gonna fire a good coach. Coach is getting you the New Year's Six Bowls and winning games, beating your rivals.
I think I told Weed this because we talked about this, and I'm like, if Brian Kelly really wanted to be the University of Florida coach, why the fuck didn't they hire him? Like, that doesn't make no sense to let go of Mullen and go hire a coach that you gotta hope and pray that he gonna get everything figured out. Like, you need somebody gonna come in there off the jump running. Like, I don't know, man. That's because you can't. If I'm Florida, I wouldn't fire him next year. Like, I would keep him. But it's going to be hard to justify it if you have another 6 wins. It's going to be hard to say, I got to keep him. That's going to be hard.
Six wins is an improvement. They're not getting a 6.
You can't go 6-5-6. You can't do that. Like, you can't justify
not in this day of college football.
Nah. I mean, you can't do that.
And everything. Teams get good overnight now. Like, Nope. Yeah, like you say, he has to make a bowl in year three. But I mean, the Meineke Carcutt Bowl, you know what I mean? December 3rd ain't the bowl game you want. You know what I mean? Even if you make the bowl game,
a bowl game, you're talking about if they win 6 games, you can't bring that back the next year. Like, that's Florida. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
they want him gone now. I'm telling you, like, they want him gone now. There's no way in the world they bring him back after 6 wins next season. And again, I think 6 is generous. I'm not seeing him getting a 6. But maybe Lagway come in and they say Merck's coming back. So, you know, Merck's coming back in the system again.
Once again, I don't,
you know, he'll like put up some numbers and they'll lose.
To me, he's just not a good team builder. I just don't think he's done a good job building the team. I just don't. Them pieces, it's talented pieces. It is talented pieces. And I do think they're going to be good on offense next year. I think Florida's going to be good on offense next year. I really do. But, man, you got secondary problems. You got defensive line problems. You got a bunch of O-line problems. Like,
your tight end just hit the portal.
Well, that tight end wasn't that good. So, you know. But
still, you got a problem. They better keep that quarterback. That's what I know. They better keep that quarterback.
I've made a rule for myself. I will no longer comment on anybody going into the portal because everybody's school has players going to the portal.
That's everybody.
It's
free agency. Yeah, portal gonna open up and it's gonna be free agency, and we'll just watch it play out. Yeah, there's no more team loyalty. You ain't got, you know, whatever it is. Florida State basketball player left and went right to Miami because they was winning.
You just don't hire. I don't know.
Yeah, they'll say Mertz coming back next year. He'll be, you know, that'll help him out a little bit.
Yeah, but even with Mertz coming back, they're gonna have to clean up the special teams. He's gonna have to put competitive depth on that roster so they don't, because like I felt like at the end of the year they were so beat down, they playing so many young guys that was causing all the special teams issues that they was having so many young guys. But then they had a bunch of special teams issues the first game of the season against Utah. That they should have beat Utah. Utah wasn't good this year.
No, they did not beat. Yeah, they ain't like they playing a dominant Utah team. Yeah,
dude, Colorado played Utah closer than Florida did. Go look at the game. Go look at the score from yesterday. Go look at it. Like
with Colorado's backup.
Right. And from what we all say is a terrible offensive line, which is a terrible offensive line. They gave Utah more problems than Florida did. I don't know. That's a disaster. So they got to fire the AD. I would fire him today. So that's what I would be doing if I was Florida. I'd be getting me a brand new AD in there. I would be preparing for a new head coach in it by the end of next year. That's what I would be doing. So,
yeah. Listen. No, go ahead.
Nah, that's it. That's all I had. I was just like wanting to just go off about Florida. I just, man, like, damn. Like,
no, again, look, you gotta never apologize to me about going off on Florida. You know what I mean? I do it at least once an episode. I find a reason to go off on Florida. So, you know, it was your turn.
Yeah, that was a disaster. Like, watching them yesterday, I was like, man, that's a disaster.
It was really, yeah, you see it. Like, I'm watching it, you know, with my family. We out of town or whatever it is. I'm watching it. And they was like, Florida really do some dumb stuff. I said, I've been saying this all season long. Florida does dumb stuff. It just, they are going to give you the game. You don't want it, they'll give it to you. You understand? Like, they will give you the game. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really bad. Like, when your team gives away games all the time, gives extra possessions, gives you first downs, it's not good. It looks directly, you got to look directly at the head coach. At one point in time, Florida State was like that. Not too long ago.
Yeah, you know, it's like I said, it's always weird, man, when you watch these teams. But I know I had one more tangent to go on. Okay. I'm happy Michigan beat Ohio State yesterday, because I got tired of all that crying and whining about, oh, they stealing signs. Like, dude, and he was whining all throughout the game, asking for calls during the game. I'm like, Ryan Day, stop being such a bitch, okay? Be a man, okay?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, we letting it out. Yeah, we letting the chopper sing today. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Stop being a bitch, Ryan Day. Okay. I'm so happy to see Michigan beat them. Like, get out of here, dude. Get out of here.
Ryan Day, I hope they fire your ass. Like, I'm the root for people to be jobless, but I hope they get you a bitch. Ryan Day is as soft as they come. I end it with that, because he just cried the whole game. He crying. He spent his whole time arms in the air.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a LeBron fan. It's like watching Bron. He just out there just. Like, bro, oh, man up. Ryan Day, man up and coach your team, man. That's
my loser of the week. Because him and Greg Schiano started this whole, oh, they still a sign. That's why they better than us. Like, dude. You've been around football long enough not to act like a bitch, okay? You've been around football long enough. You know more about football. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. And, like, and then it's like, and I get that Harbaugh is one of those old school coaches that's, you know, Harbaugh's cut from a different branch. Like, he don't congregate with other coaches and coaches' staffs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's like a Harbaugh.
You're not welcome at the barbecue.
It's like a Harbaugh tree. And like it's like mm-hmm. Harbaugh and his group of guys. Like it's John Harbaugh, right. John Harbaugh, you know, the Tiger, Mike McDonald that's over there at the Ravens. And you know, they take mm-hmm. coaches from each other's staffs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like John Harbaugh, Jim, they kind of they don't really go outside of their group of coaches. You know what I'm saying? Like those they guys. Mm-hmm. So and I know for a fact that Harbaugh is not very inviting to other coaches. Like he wanna fight you. Like he's like, we want to fight. Like I'm
and that's what I want.
Yeah, we want to get down. Like that's his yeah. mentality. So I get that coaches don't like him, but to act like he was doing something so damn egregious that it was caught creating this big advantage. It's like, dude, stop it. Like, seriously, stop it.
Dog. You can know the play that's coming. And you still got to execute the play. You still got to execute the play.
If you got 20 seconds, if you get a play call in, by the time you get the play call, you got 25 seconds. Can you tell all 11 guys what play is coming within 25 seconds of that play getting in?
Even if you did, they still got us. I'm going to line up, and my job is to block that defensive guy, regardless. Yeah. Yeah. Regardless of what happened, job is to block the defensive guy.
I'm over Ryan Day and his crying ass. Get him out of here. Hey. I didn't go get if I know they can't get this guy, but they Mike yeah, Vrabel. They need a Mike Vrabel infusion. They need a tough guy at Ohio State right now because they soft as shit, man.
Yeah, I'm sick of the interim head coach crying all the time after these games too. Man up, man. You won. You expect act like you've been here before. Every game
I'm gonna give him a pass because he's an interim. I'm giving him a pass because he's an interim. He's an interim.
Stop all that damn crying.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, he's an interim. So, but as a head coach, as somebody that's leading the program, all that whining on TV, going behind back doors, trying to claim that, oh, this is why I'm losing to Michigan. Like, no, man. Like, But that's enough of that for me today. Oh, my coach. Coach.
You got anything else you want to rant about, man? I'm cool with it.
Nah. I think it'd be a good idea for Ryan Day to take the Texas A&M job if he can get it. I think Texas A&M making a big mistake by not hiring Mark Stoops. That's about it.
The crowd been calling for Urban to do what?
Yeah, they got to get a psycho in there, man. You got to get a psycho back in there, man. It's a soft program. Mm. But you know, it's crazy. If I'm an AD, it's no way in hell I'm firing Ryan Day. It's no way. But anyway, that's me. I mean, the man only had 5 losses, 6 losses in his career. I mean, don't fuck around and hire somebody worse. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't fuck around. You can do a lot worse than that.
We've seen this happen. Look at what's happening in Gainesville. You moved on from a good coach, and now you got a really bad coach. You don't want to do that.
Especially in the Big Ten where you finna have USC and Oregon now. Like you could set yourself up for some failures. You know what I'm saying? So but anyway, man, that's that.
Yep. Got any questions? I see you got a few of them start over. Or we address all of those. I think we addressed everything.
Said maximize top 5 class could get spooky. That's true. You gotta start hitting on the offensive line, though. This is gonna be big. These next two classes, he gotta bring in some high level at the O line and D line.
Yeah, I was gonna say, listen to Jeff Cameron's Monday episode. If y'all, you know what I mean, like he really broke it down. He was like, you don't find, and he said, I'm just stealing from him, but he said you don't find linemen in the portal. Like those guys, they don't leave teams very often. You know what I mean?
You don't find elite guys when you playoff games in the portal. You're not
correct
gonna find
in the portal. Right. You're gonna find some serviceable guys, but not elite guys in the portal, especially when it comes to those linemen. He said those guys are usually recruited from high school and developed. And he was like, so Mike has to, he's like, Mike's evolution, if he really wants to take himself from good to elite, he's gotta hit on offensive line. And right now they're not hitting at nearly high enough rate. So I 100% agree. Like right now, they've done great. They've done a great job in recruiting. They got number 3 class. But if you don't hit on that offensive line, I don't care who you put linebacker up there, quarterback, they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle. Again, last week, we struggled against North Alabama running the football. There's zero excuse. We can't line up and get a yard against North Alabama. That's a problem. You know what I mean? And so, again, and that's why it's hard for us to pick Florida State against any of these playoff teams. Because even if you had a good line, then you could say, all right, well, we got really good running backs or whatever it is. We can line up and just run the football. You know what I mean? That's what Mike would want to lean on anyway. But you don't have the offensive line to be able to do that. So, yeah, Mike going to have to hit. Mike going to have to hit on the portal. Yeah. I got a question. Who on FSU beat you?
I don't listen to anybody but the Noel Cath, to be honest with y'all.
I don't, I'll just say, I listen to Jeff Cameron.
But
that's not really, I don't know if it's a podcast. And I mean, I listen to it in podcast form, but
I do think other people do good podcasts. I think the thing with me is, and I told Brandon this when I first started doing a podcast, I didn't ever want to sound like nobody else. So yeah. I stopped listening to a lot of podcasts because I didn't want to listen to somebody podcast and then be sprouting off their opinions. Right.
And that's why I don't listen to a lot of them either. Yep.
So I guess now, when people listen to me, it's like I'm being negative. I guess because I'm not singing with all the other podcasts. So I say it.
Yeah, but that's what listen, I'm thinking. Okay. When it comes to that, if y'all want to hear people tell y'all how great everything is, man,
it's a thousand. I promise you that
every podcast they got is gonna tell you everything great. I promise you. Like we got them. Like there's a whole bunch of FSU podcasts that will tell you everything's great, Tate's great. This, that, and the third. You know what I mean? They're going to tell you how Tate grew up, and they expect him to take another leap against Louisville. You will not get that from us. Like, I'm going to tell you what I feel. Sam going to tell you how he feel. We're going to agree. We're going to disagree, but it's going to be our honest opinion. You know what I mean? Like, and again, that's why I said, I listen to Jeff because Jeff usually is coming from a different place, and I don't think we can even talk from the same points because he's talking from an inside the program. He's been with it 30 years. Me and him are never going to have the same opinions or talking points. So I'm fine listening to him. I don't like – and then I can understand saying, listen, Noelcast is really – they're just numbers. You know what I mean? Noelcast is a whole lot of information. You know what I mean?
The Noelcast because I think what Buddy Ingram does is good. But I do think Bud and Ingram both kind of – they give a – a more overview look of the program when they talk about the program. So it's not all sunshine pumping all the time.
Yep.
I feel like they're giving a real opinion on what they really think. So
they come from an emotionless place. Like they're leaving the emotion out of it. And literally that's what I say. Like they talk from,
and they kind of let you decide how you feel about the team. I don't need people telling me how I need to feel about Tate Rodemaker being the starting quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to listen to that all week. Like, that's kind of, like, ridiculous sometimes. Like, I listen to certain things, and they be like, oh, you know, this guy can do this, and this guy can do that. And like, the AO. Remember the AO at defensive tackle thing? Everybody was like, AO finna have this big, big breakout year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't think that's really going to happen. Like, and then when you listen to somebody like Ingram, Bud, it'd be like, oh, AO started playing football 3 years ago. Okay. So, in my mind, I'm thinking like, oh, this kid just started playing football 3 years ago. Probably not going to be an elite defensive tackle at college, his second year on the college campus.
Yeah, not immediately, no.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But you have people
that give you information and you can formulate your own opinion. They're not giving you an opinion.
People in the offseason was constantly saying he's going to have this big breakout season. I'm like, well, if he's only played football for 3 years, like,
right,
it's probably not going to happen. Okay, mm-hmm. But I'm not saying that he won't be good in two more years or in a year. He might be great, you know what I'm saying? So, but I think a lot of the podcasts, when they're doing just, you know, player-specific interviews and stuff, I don't really care about that type of stuff, to be honest with you, but I don't think none of the FSU podcasts are bad, to be honest with you. I don't think none of them are bad.
With that.
I think you got to find your flavor.
I have listened to just about all of them.
You got to find your flavor. Just find your flavor.
Yeah. Hey, but most importantly, you here with us, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
While y'all here, hit that like button if you haven't already. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. I think most of the people in here, I recognize all these people. So these are faithfuls. If the button come up, man, y'all here, and we appreciate that for real. Yeah. Again, tweet it out. Do what you do with it, man. We appreciate that for real.
Boy, six staples is bad. That. I ain't gonna get into that. I'll leave that alone. I don't want to be bashing people. But all right,
we don't bash folks. I might ask you some questions. I might be like, yo, we really doing this? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's something wrong with Brandon. Y'all got it. It's too early for this. It's too early.
All right, for man.
This, man. So, listen, this is the Listen Up Podcast. We're going to check out these Jaguars. We out.
Third Listen Up Podcast. Yeah.
Them bitches.